The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What needs to be believed in order to receive the gift of eternal salvation? What is the heart of the matter here? We are answering a question about that today, so we're glad that you've joined us here on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast outreach of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas. We'd love to know you better, and we'd love for you to know more about us. And you can do so at our website, faithalone.org. You can find some free ebooks there and other written free grace resources, hundreds of articles for you to read and study. We also want you to find out about our online seminary named GES Seminary. Go to our website, faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Welcome, Mike.
Hi, Bob.
We have a question from you. No, I guess it's somebody else named Mike, just coinky-dinky.
Great name.
It's a very popular name. It's also an archangel, right, Michael?
Yes, I believe so.
Anyway, Mike asked the question. He says, you often say that people need to believe in Jesus for eternal life to be saved. But I see many instances, for example, John 3:16 or John 4 with the woman at the well, where Jesus is just looking for belief that he is the Messiah. Am I missing something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a really good question.
Yeah.
And as you might guess, Mike, people who have studied the Gospel of John have noticed what you're talking about here. There are many places in John's gospel where it talks about believing in him, right? Like John 3:16, whoever believes in him. John 6:47, he who believes in me has everlasting life. John 11:25 to 27, he talks about believing in me, believing in me. But there are also passages that talk about believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. For example, John chapter 11 and verse 27. Let's look at John 11, 25 to 27. Do you have it there, Mike?
Yeah.
Read those three verses and notice when you're listening to what he's reading, notice the difference between believe in and believe that. Jesus twice refers to believe in. Then he says, do you believe this? Then Martha says, I believe that. Notice how they're all saying the same thing.
All right. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Okay, so in John's gospel, to believe in Greek, that's pistuo eis, is the same as to believe that. In Greek, that's pistuo hati. And commentators are quick to point this out. And you also see this in the purpose statement for the whole book. In John 20:31, John says, these signs have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John 11:27, where Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, is tied in with the purpose statement. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, has everlasting life and will never perish. So in John's gospel, those are synonymous ideas. In other words, to believe that Jesus is the Christ does not mean that I believe that's his last name, or it doesn't mean I believe he's the anointed one, which is the underlying meaning of Christos or Mashiach in the Hebrew. It means the one who is anointed, and it refers ultimately to the anointed king. And Jesus is the King of Israel, and he will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all that's true, but that's not what that means in John's gospel. And Jesus makes it real clear when he says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's the promise that the believer will be resurrected into his kingdom in a glorified body. So it's a statement of eternal security via resurrection. And then he says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. In other words, there's no such thing as a living human being who believes in Jesus who's going to lose everlasting life. They're going to die physically, yes, he just said that in the previous verse, but they're never going to die spiritually because he said, I am the life, I am everlasting life, therefore that's what he gives. And then he says, do you believe this? Or we could say, do you believe that? And her answer is, yes, I believe that. I believe that you are the Christ. Well, he didn't ask her, do you believe if I'm the Christ, the Son of God? He said, do you believe that the one who believes in me is going to be resurrected and is never going to die spiritually? And she said, yes, I know that's true. And here's how I know it's true. Because you're the Christ, the Son of God. That's what the Christ, the Son of God means. He guarantees that for those who believe in him. And so to believe that Jesus is the Christ in the Johannine sense, in the biblical sense, means I believe he guarantees my eternal destiny. And you mention, Mike, not this Mike, but the other Mike, mentions John 3:16. Well, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but has everlasting life. And so that really isn't a believe that, it's a believe in him. But in John 4, it is true she comes to believe he's the Messiah. He leads her to that belief. In John 4:10, he says she needs to know the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink. Well, she learns the gift of God is everlasting life. And he brings that out in verse 14, that this water of life will spring up in you into everlasting life. And then at the very end of the conversation, in verses 25 and 26, she learns he's the Messiah.
Right.
She says, we know Messiah's coming.
Yeah.
She's basically asking him, is that who you are? And he says, I who speak to you am he. At that point, she leaves the water behind. And by the way, some clever commentators have pointed out that there's two kinds of water at the well there.
Mm-hmm.
There's the water she has in the pot,
yeah,
and there's the water that Jesus gave her. He gave her a non-physical water, a living water that gave her everlasting life.
Yeah.
And then there's this old water that would never fully satisfy. You'd have to keep drinking, drinking, drinking.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
Well, in a sense, this old water symbolizes the legalism of the Samaritans and the legalism of the Jews, that if we just keep enough of the commandments, maybe we can make it. And when she leaves the water pot behind, which is an interesting point that John mentions that. Why mention she left the water pot behind? I mean, didn't she come here to get the water?
Right.
But she leaves it. Some have pointed out that she's leaving the old religion behind.
Yeah.
And she's taking the new water. She's carrying water with her, but not that water.
Yeah.
She's carrying the new water with her to the men of the village. She said, could this be the Messiah? And Jesus says the reason why she doesn't say this is the Christ, and instead asks, could this be, is because she has a low reputation and she realizes she'd have a better chance at persuading them if she says, could this be the Messiah, rather than this is the Messiah. And she points out that he told me all things about myself, which that's what persuaded her that he was the Messiah. But when she believed he was the Messiah, she was simultaneously believing she had the gift of God.
Yeah. I know you've been using Messiah and Christ interchangeably. I think maybe helpful to tell people, is there a difference or what?
That's a good point. Okay, so the word in English, those two words are different, but in the language of the people of the day, they would have been pretty much synonymous. The Hebrew is Messiah, or, they would pronounce it Mashiach, but it's Messiah. And the Greek is Christos, but that's the same person. That's the same thing. And so it's just, if you want to know how the Greek Old Testament would translate Messiah, it would translate it as Christ.
Christ, okay. And so I see what you're saying. You're saying basically if we want to determine what Messiah means or Christ means, we shouldn't be looking at what people think it means or what contemporary culture says it means. We need to look at what the Bible says it means. And you says we can tell what that meaning of Messiah and the Christ is by looking at John 11:25-27.
Right. And it's even sharper than that, Mike, because it's not going to the Old Testament to say, okay, what does Messiah mean? Or go to the Old Testament, Greek Old Testament, what does Christ mean? Because you're going to find out that this is the anointed one who is going to be the king of Israel, and he's going to come, and he's, depending on how you read it, you're going to understand that he's going to be also the suffering servant of Isaiah 52 and 53, although a lot of Jews expected two different messiahs. One was going to come to suffer and another one was going to come to reign. But that's not the point. The point is when Jesus uses this expression and when it's used in John's gospel, it is synonymous with him being the guarantor. This is the way Hodges liked to put it.
Yeah.
He used the word guarantor, the guarantor of everlasting life to anybody who believes that he's the Christ. So he was trying to convince the people of Israel both that he is the Christ and that because he is the Christ, he guarantees everlasting life to all who believe in him. So there's no discrepancy in John's gospel between believing in Jesus for everlasting life and believing that Jesus is the Christ.
The Christ equals the person who gives everlasting life to whoever believes in him for it.
Exactly. That's what the Christ means in John's gospel. I remember I had I've mentioned this on the show before, but I have a friend who got a doctorate in patristics from UCLA, and he saw some of the things I'd written about this, and he said, well, basically you're saying everybody in Christianity is born again because they all believe Jesus is the Christ. My response to him is what we've been talking about here. No, they believe, they would formally say they agree with that, but they don't believe that by faith in him, they're secure forever. And so as a result, they're rejecting the Johannine understanding of what it means that Jesus is the Christ.
They may believe the term the Christ, but they don't believe the meaning of what that term means.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I think it's very important to recognize that people can use biblical language without biblical meaning.
Right.
And so I really appreciate the question from another Mike who's asked this question. It is important to recognize that to believe in Jesus for everlasting life is to believe that he is the Messiah, the Christ, who guarantees everlasting life to all who believe in him.
And that's why we should always keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On our next episode, does Lordship Salvation offer any assurance? Find out when you join us next time. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.